This is Weekend Breakfast.
You get pretty hands-on as a friend or family member when someone has a baby.
Yeah.
For example, my mum was straight to the hospital, you know?
Yeah.
She basically did like the second bath ever of Indy. And,
yeah.
You know, everyone wants to be his hands on. My sister, even though she's got two little rugrats, she's like, give me Indy, I need to smoosh these legs, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone loves your baby. And so when Hayley's best friend had a baby, she was there. She drove her when she went into labor to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
Her partner wasn't there, so she actually had the, you know, the daddy bracelet on so she could be there in the delivery
in the room.
Yeah. Actually ended up giving this baby her first bath. But it was at 3 days old when Hayley was changing her her best friend's baby that she noticed something that was completely unexpected.
So I was changing her daughter, and I noticed that she had what we call the bowling bumps. It's an extra piece of cartilage that grows out of the side of their necks, which I'm very familiar with because my oldest son has it. And so I knew exactly that baby was my husband's at the time.
That's right.
Sorry, what?
Welcome to the story, everybody. She found out because of a hereditary birthmark that her son's with her husband has.
Right.
That her best friend's new 3-day-old daughter, that's right, was her husband's.
Wow.
I know.
So okay, I totally was not expecting that.
Thank you. I told you it was juicy. So not only did she find out that obviously that her partner's cheated, but also like you're looking at this baby, like I guess in sort of anger at the whole situation.
Yeah.
But that's also your kid's half sister.
Sister, yes.
So much.
Oh my gosh, so much to unpack.
Let's take a deeper dive. What happened
then?
Hayley explained that she and her best friend had drifted apart when she was pregnant.
Yeah.
But it reconnected when the woman fell pregnant. Now, let's just talk about the nerve of this best friend. Not only to cheat in general, but also to cheat with her best friend's husband.
Yeah.
Right? But then to go through the process of calling her, I'm in labor, I need you to drop me off, doing that whole process. And when confronted, she admitted immediately that, yes, I did have an affair with your husband. The big question, this is what she was asked on the TikTok, where the kids go, and apparently mothers are four. This is what she got asked. Are you still friends or in contact with this woman? This is what she had to say.
I do follow her on Facebook. We have spoke several times. And so we are on good terms with each other in a sense that we, you know, I found forgiveness for her for myself. And hopefully she can find forgiveness for herself. And at the end of the day, her daughter is my children's sister. So I would hope one day that we could have a cordial relationship for the kids because I want my children to know who is their blood, right? And that's important to me.
Takes a big person, right?
Oh, 100%. Geez, and I was still upset about someone who stole my jacket 21 years ago.
That's right. A story you told earlier this morning. But it's just crazy. So for other questions I can clear up for you. Her husband and her aren't together anymore.
Okay.
She did stay with him for a while, though, but she said that came down to religious beliefs. Jesus,
right?
Am I right?
Yeah.
And then, no, the best friend and the husband didn't get together.
Okay.
All right. So I
think
that
now they're both now they're just both single?
I think everyone's single. I think there's three single people and five kids in one of the most situations I've heard in recent times. But I told you what a juicy story.
Yes. That's probably the craziest one I've heard, like as in the reveal of finding out.
Just looking at the birthmarks on the kid and recognizing that your kids have the same.
Mm-hmm.
Also, fun fact, Indy, my daughter, has the same birthmarks, two of them, as Emily, my partner. I didn't know you could pass them down.
Well, I didn't know either. I don't have one.
Unless there's a guy out there with a birthmark.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Okay, let me fill you in on my life. This is a little life update for those that are just joining. 34, single, no assets, no debt, but I live at home with my mum. I just moved back in. What's
decisions?
Yep, that.
No decisions to make. Your mum makes them all for you. She makes your bed in the morning.
She does. Look, it's been amazing. I've really enjoyed being back home. You know, I've been back there for probably 4 or 5 weeks, right? I get my meals cooked, bed made, clothes washed. Like, it is an absolute
dream.
Don't fall into the trap. But, well, no, I'm not. I've given myself a deadline, maybe 2 years later. But anyway, I've hit a hurdle. And I'm going to explain to you.
It sounds like you've smashed for about 15 hurdles at the moment, mate. This isn't the first hurdle. This is like the end of the 100-meter hurdles.
No, see, Mama Jules is, because I, you know, I don't even own a car. So I don't own a house. I don't own a car. I don't have any assets to my name, right? And Mama Jules is always on about me saving money. I don't think my mum has seen me in the same outfit twice.
I love a shop.
I love my fashion. I love buying clothes. I buy them when I'm happy. I buy them when I'm unhappy. I buy them for any emotion. I'm an emotional shopper, right? But any emotion will do and I will spend it.
Does hurt the surplus cash flow though.
It does. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, when living out of home and I'm on my own, I can order whatever I want from the net. Turns up, no one knows any different. I could get a package every day. No one knows. Mama Jules does not know how much money I'm spending. Living at home, I'm getting a package, I'm not kidding you, every second or third day.
Jeez.
And so Mama Jules is actually seeing how much, like, you know, how much money I'm actually, oh, not how much money, but seeing all these different packages coming through. And I'm sure she thinks that I'm spending like $1,000 each postage, but I'm not. But this is what happens when a postage has come up and this is how I get around it.
You got parcel again. Stop buying stuff. Mom, it's sponsored. Look, I don't pay for this stuff. They send it to me. They send it to me and they're
like... Right. What? It's all freaking bloody lollies. You get another package.
It's sponsored, Mum. Far out.
Jay, every day you have a package is sponsored.
Yeah, because I'm an influencer.
Oh, gosh. So you're fake influencing.
Well, Mama Jules, right, she knows I'm on air. She knows I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
But she thinks I'm a star. Man, I've got over 4,000 followers on Facebook. She's got like 10. She thinks I'm famous and I've convinced her that I'm an influencer, even to the point, right? And I will share this on our Instagram, even to the point where I've got her to take the photos and the videos in the clothes that I have actually bought.
And posts.
And tag. So what I've done is I've been tagging them on Facebook because she doesn't have Instagram. She's only got Facebook.
Yeah.
So that she actually thinks that I'm tagging the businesses that are sending me stuff.
The funniest thing is our radio sponsor at the moment is Iconic. And even then you can't get a free package to the door.
I pay for bloody everything.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Are you feeling sorry for Scott Disick at the moment? You know, Lord Scott Disick.
I do like myself the Lord. I don't watch the Kardashians, but I do like the Lord.
Yeah, if you don't know who we're talking about, he is the ex-partner of Kourtney Kardashian, the eldest Kardashian of the Kardashian clan. Now, did I explain that correctly?
Yeah, you did.
Oh.
You said Kardashian like, about 17 times in 3 seconds.
I mean, you can't say just their first names, right? Anyway, apparently Scotty is not coping with the announcement of Kourtney and Travis's engagement.
Travis Barker, Blink-182 drummer.
Now, apparently, you know, and you've seen it as well too, a lot of PDA, a lot of public display of defection, and he's not coping. And I've seen in comments a lot of people giving out Scott some advice on how to cope. And I get it. Look, I've had my fair share of breakups and some exes, and I've dealt with some of them, you know, quite shockingly, and some of them have ended quite amicably. But I thought what I'll do is give you the 4 tips to get over an ex.
Okay.
Now, the first one, no matter how much it hurts, and I know you've probably heard this a lot, but block them on everything, that is phone, social media, blah, 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 but also be brutal and block your friends that are still friends with that person and your family. If your family or friends still choose to speak to your ex and you're trying to get past them, you need to get them out of your life. Even just, I'm not talking about forever, but I'm talking about even just for, you know, the first 3 months or whatever until you get past them. Second tip, focus on yourself. And the first thing I suggest is getting a routine. Fill your calendar with all the things that make you happy. And if it was that person that completed your happiness, keep that in mind for next time you go into a relationship to not give them that control over your own happiness.
Great tips.
Number 3. Obviously, we get lonely, right? And if you are lonely and people can't stand being alone, fill the void. Like the saying goes, best way to get over someone is to get under someone. So everyone is broken in some sort of way. And I'm telling you right now, it is never too soon to move on, just don't get attached straight away, because that's when you kind of fall for those douches. You think they're the love of your life, but they're actually not. Jump on the dating apps, get matching for the confidence boost, mm-hmm. and get chatting. Even if you don't go on a date, just chat on people just to fill the time.
You know what? I when I broke up with my girlfriend, I was like 22 years old. I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
I did. I you know, got back on the bike.
Yeah.
I had a quick cry when this girl left that I was attracted to. But after, you know, the dirty feeling that you feel guilty for a little bit, even though you've done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You do get this new perspective, don't you? And you're like, well, somebody can like me. Someone does find me attractive. I do have some sort of worth in this dating world. So I think you're right.
Exactly. Oh, I've got one more. And this has helped me out throughout my life when it comes to meeting people. I want you to Google reason, season, lifetime, and that'll explain all the people that come into your life.
Hopefully I don't have to look up that website, but good tips, Jules. You're listening to Weekend Breakfast.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
UK Love Island couple, Molly Mae Haig and Tommy Fury.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't watch Love Island Australia, but the UK one apparently is like the season.
Lit, man. It is lit. You know what it is? It's the accents.
Now, I didn't know that Tommy Fury had actually been on that show. Because I know Tommy Fury being the younger brother of the world heavyweight champion Tyson Fury.
Yeah, right. I didn't even know. Okay, I've heard both names and I didn't even know they were related.
He just got announced he's going to fight the YouTuber Jake Paul as well. So I knew him as younger brother of Tyson. I didn't know he's on Love Island, but apparently he is. Now, they have been victims, the couple, Molly and Tommy, of a break-in at their plush Manchester home, with burglars reportedly getting away with around £800,000 worth of their belongings.
That's even more in Aussie dollars, right?
Yeah, it'd be like nearly one and a half. Yeah, 1.4. It's a lot of stuff to be taken out of your home. You'd be devastated, wouldn't you?
Wait, what were they gone for, a couple of months or something? How did they even get time to take so much out?
The incident happened while they were in London celebrating Molly Mae's Beauty Works launch party.
Right.
So Manchester and London, it's a few hours on the tube. So you're probably thinking, Angus, this is a serious crime. This shouldn't be laughed about. Personal possessions. What if, like, something sentimental was taken as well as valuable?
I feel sorry for anyone that gets robbed, though, like, because it's your own stuff.
Here's the thing, and take this as a warning for all of us. Don't post your whole life on the internet.
Oh, come on. How else are you supposed to influence?
Now, these guys had done an MTV Cribs-style tour of their house on YouTube. Every room in the house, every luxury appliance, every piece of art, and they're also, like, bragging about it. Like, oh, my God, this mink rug is, like, so expensive. It was Gucci first season.
I got this Birkin bag. You know, no one else has got it in the world. Yeah, okay.
Just imagine George Clooney going in Ocean's 14. You don't need Matt Damon and Brad Pitt these days. All you need is YouTube. You don't need blueprints. You just need the internet. Takes the fun out of a heist, doesn't it? And of course, they had posted that they were in London at this event.
Oh, of course.
So as soon as they left, the guys knew how long they were going to be gone for. They knew they were staying in a hotel overnight because they were posting the luxurious hotel they were staying in.
Oh, you're kidding.
They told everyone about the window of opportunity at their house. Now, this is also a couple that flashes their hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry all over the internet. Yeah. So in the days before, Molly had posted up her new Rolex Submariner worth £20,000, a new Cartier bracelet, all of the vintage Gucci she had on her wrist.
Bling, bling.
So, of course, they knew what they were going to be getting and what they were looking for in their house.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel sorry for them.
Oh, jeez. How do you know it wasn't an inside job?
For me, I don't know whether it's because they're so wealthy that I feel less sympathy for them, or if it's because they did this and posted their life on the internet and just basically gave an open pass to people to know what to get and where to get it.
I get where you're coming from, but I think regardless of what was taken, regardless of how much you earn or whatever, or how much it was all worth, I feel sorry for them.
I don't. 131060, we'd love to know. Can you feel sorry for someone who shares their whole life on the internet and when their most intimate details is everybody's business and it comes back to bite them on the butt? Should we care? 131060, we've got two calls. We'll start with Jess in Melbourne. Should we feel sorry for these influencers once they get robbed after sharing their whole life on the internet?
I feel like no one deserves to be robbed, but based on the way you phrase this, it's total goose move. Like, they should have put more money into security or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I feel like Angus comes really down hard on any kind of influencer, any kind of person that's made their fame by reality TV or influencing, like, on social media.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've sold some stuff on my Instagram and got paid for it, but it also disgusts me a little bit than when I was a kid growing up. You know, you wanted to be a fireman, an astronaut, etc. Yeah. The most common answer in American schools these days is YouTuber, famous, or TikTok.
Yep.
That's the world we're heading into, people.
Huh?
And it's people like Tommy Fury and Molly Mae Haig. My sympathy levels, I don't know whether it's because they're rich and I feel like, you know, they can recover. They've probably got insurance as well.
I was going to say that, yeah.
But I don't know if my sympathy drops a little less because of the money, but because they showed everyone their lavish lifestyles, I think they put themselves into a position that they're now in.
I'm starting to think it's an inside job, to be honest.
Okay. Olivia in Sydney, what's your thoughts? Can you feel sorry for this couple, this rich Instagram couple who have shared their life online and have now been robbed because of it?
It annoys me when I see these kinds of people on Instagram. It annoys me. But I actually do feel bad for them because at the end of the day, like, They've worked really hard to get the lifestyle they've got, and now they've just lost heaps of stuff. So I do actually feel a bit bad.
Worked hard for what? Taking three photos in a pool on a comped trip to Greece. Do you know what they've also posted before? Coming out of Louis V with all of those orange bags around their arms with, like, the receipt of how much money they spent?
How do you know they're not sponsored?
Because they would have had a hashtag ad on the post.
Very true.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
4:17.
I don't. You were such a dad.
Thank you very much, everyone.
You were such a dad.
I went golfing. Haven't played for a few years.
Yeah.
But I discovered what golf really is. And that's just lying to your mates. So
about what?
Everything. Mostly about the scorecard, but just about your general play. Because, you know, with me, I haven't played for a few years, but I can still hit them pretty good.
I was going to say, look, if you can hit the ball, that's playing golf to me in my books.
Look, I had a lot of mulligans, which is like really bad shots where you get the opportunity to retake them.
Oh, is that where the ball just, you hit the ball and it just rolls along the ground?
I went to smack it as far as I could with my driver, you know, just hit the top of the ball and it just rolled into the shrub in the front of the tee.
Okay.
So let's say I did a bad drive. I hit it to the left of the fairway.
Yeah.
I can't find the ball, even though it should be easily found. So what did I do? Dropped another ball and pretended that was it.
Cheater.
Saved myself two shots on the scorecard.
Did you?
I did. Mm. There's a lot of kicking balls with your feet to try and get it into a better lie of grass instead of, like, being near a stick or near a tree. You kind of, like, push it 6 inches to the right so you've got a bit of a clearer way.
Okay, going back to Happy Gilmore when the ball lands on that big guy's foot.
And then the big one I realized was miscounting shots. You know, let's
say
a par four means that it's suggested that you could and should be getting it in from the tee to the hole in four shots.
Oh, is that what that meant? Okay.
So I'm there hitting like 8 to 9 per hole.
Yeah.
But I was playing alongside a mate of mine and I realized he'd taken the same shots as me.
Yeah.
But here he is as he puts in his ball and he goes, just 7 guys, 7 on the scorecard for me. And I was like, oh!
How many did you count?
9.
Ah,
and
did
that's
you pull
when
him
I
up?
Realized it's all about manipulation. You just fake how many. So you've done 1 from the tee, and then next to the tree, that's 2, 3 before the bunker, 4 on the thing, 5, 3 putt. Yep, 6.
I mean, who's going to question you, right? Like, are they really that competitive?
I know, and we didn't speak about it. No one ever does in golf. I knew that we were all lying about it, and we were all hoping that nobody pulled the other one up on it.
Yeah, in that
moment. At the end of the day, when we're counting up our scores and having a beer at the clubhouse, I just said, are we really pretending that I came last and that you came third and you came second and first? Because, and everyone's like, yeah, no, but did you not say your score right? And I was like, oh, none of us want to come clean that this is seriously just a game of cheating.
And these are your mates.
Apparently not when there's a club in our hands.
No, ditched them.
This is Weekend Breakfast.